Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Anne Rowan, and we are continuing on our study called Eternal Security? This is part three, and I'm going to go back just a couple of verses. I'm actually reading from my book with that title, Eternal Security? You can see that and other resources on my website at www.flwi. For Fountains of Living Waters International.org. I'm on page 40. It says, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God if you are living an unrighteous, ungodly life. As the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. God has a standard, and it is a holy standard. Without holiness, no man shall see God. According to Hebrews 12:14. Just because man likes to acquiesce to our politically correct immoral society and accept homosexuality and perversion as okay, it doesn't make it okay. Fornication is any sex outside of legal heterosexual marriage. It's not okay to live with someone out of wedlock. It's not okay to watch pornography. Porneia is the Greek word for fornication. It may be accepted by our society, but it is not okay for Christians. Sexual immorality is not acceptable with God. Preachers, stop vacillating and saying, well, as long as they don't commit the act of homosexuality, it's okay. Let them be a celibate homosexual. They can be in the choir. They can be a deacon. They can teach Sunday school. Jesus said, if you lust in your heart, it's the same as committing the act. Our thought life must be submitted to the lordship of Jesus. Continuing to think sinful thoughts, lust, hate, envy, malice, can become a demonic stronghold in our mind. Then it can move into our hearts. We are to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, jealousy, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. According to Jesus in Mark chapter 6:21, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. We are not to accept and entertain sinful thoughts, but we are to actively cast them down and resist the devil. The mind is the battleground where spiritual warfare is fought. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. Pastors, don't allow people to feel comfortable in their private sin while they're on their way to a devil's hell. Help them get delivered. Preach the word so they're willing to repent of those demonic strongholds of the mind. Help them recognize sin begins in the mind. And those who continue in unrepented thoughts of sin, it will become a stronghold for the devil in their heart. We are to cast down evil thoughts and vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ, the word of God. We are not to entertain those thoughts, but rather resist the devil through the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul addressed the church saying, such were some of you, that is, homosexuals, transvestites, immoral. But you are washed, you are sanctified. That's 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. They were that way, but they had repented. They had changed their mind and behavior. and were washed by the blood of the Lamb at salvation. They were no longer homosexuals trying to suppress unnatural lust. They were new creatures in Christ and had been cleansed of it. They were set free by the blood of the Lamb. So can you be free from whatever besetting sin you may have. What about idolatry? Idolatry is not just sitting in front of a Buddhist temple and worshiping a stone god. Idolatry is also equated to living a party lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, "Neither be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." If seeking pleasure is your goal in life, you are an idolater. If the big football game is more important to you than worshiping God, you are an idolater. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, that preoccupied the lives of those who didn't bother to get in the ark of safety with Noah. Noah preached righteousness, but God was not their priority. Idolaters put other things before God. It's what's in your heart. To sum it all up, it's all a matter of what is in your heart. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or have other things or other people taken first place in your heart? If you truly know him, he will be your priority. If you've forgotten where God has brought you from, you are in danger of falling back into the world of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Peter tells us to make our calling and election sure. We are to give diligence by adding to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these things are in us, we will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we lack these things, we are spiritually blind and have forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. That's 2 Peter 1, starting with verse 5. Hence, as a Christian, we are no longer sinners. We are past tense, purged from those things. Unless we are diligent, we can fall from God. What other works of the flesh will keep you out of heaven? According to Paul in Galatians 5, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Liquor liberty? I am so tired of quote-unquote Christians espousing their liberty in Christ by imbibing. A Christian does not need to be drinking alcohol. So you have liberty in Christ to drink a little wine, quote-unquote, for your stomach's sake. The wine of the first century world was not the heavily fermented alcohol of today. With all of the alcoholics in our society, why would you put a stumbling block before others who very well may have an issue with drinking? Coming from a family of generational alcoholics, I have seen the great destruction to homes and lives of those who drink. One person I knew, a long-life alcoholic before coming to the Lord, had completely quit drinking when they became saved. Then someone they thought of highly as being a quote-unquote spiritual Christian started drinking wine in their presence. It wasn't long before they decided that it was okay to drink a little wine, and that led them back to the bottle. When one is drunk, they open the door to other demonic entities that can take over. Drunks become capable of doing horrendous things. No drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God, Christian or not. Keep your quote-unquote liberty to yourself, thank you. Christians are to avoid even the appearance of evil. How do you know when you have cross the line and your sip of wine becomes a habit that classifies you as a drunkard. Social drinking? Why are you trying to please others in a social setting? I thought God was the one you should be pleasing, as it tells us in Revelation 21, 7 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. According to the word of God, those who engage in sexual sin, lie, put other things before God, that is idolaters, murder, hate, are unbelieving or fearful, are in heresy, witchcraft, strife, envy, those who are drunkards, and the covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sorcery, and the term witchcraft in the Greek is pharmakia, from which our term pharmacy is derived. Taking mind-altering drugs is a form of sorcery, witchcraft. When one's consciousness is altered, it is an open door for the demonic to take up residence. Just because a drug is, quote-unquote, legal doesn't make it okay. The myriads of people suffering from paranoia and schizophrenia just from opening the door with just marijuana is staggering. Obviously, the harder drugs leave an even larger open door through which the demonic will happily oblige entering and occupying. Repent. Don't play with sin. Sorcerers and those into witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why are you entertaining yourself with occultic books and videos? Harry Potter, anyone? Do you not know that the spirits are transferable? Keeping the door to the demonic closed is for your soul's sake and your family's. Parents, do you know what those video games your children or grandchildren are about? Do you know how much demonic witchcraft and New Age garbage spews out of them? They are hypnotizing your children's hearts and minds. We need to watch our lives. We cannot allow ourselves to be lulled into complacency and compromise with this world. If we do, we are in danger of falling. The key to being eternally secure is really in the attitude of the heart. Do you love the Lord because he paid for your sins on the cross? If you truly believe he loved you enough that he laid down his life for you, you will love him in return. And if you love him, you will obey his word, according to John 14:21. If we remember with appreciation that Jesus purged us from our sins, we will walk in the way that pleases him. If we forget his sacrifice, according to 2 Peter 1 chapter verses 5 through 10, if we forget his sacrifice, we could fall. Harden not your heart. We must be careful lest we harden our hearts toward the Lord and continue in rebellious, willful sin. Even if one has had a close walk with God and has received the Holy Ghost and known the powerful word of God, it is possible for them to fall away. If they fall into sin but refuse to repent, they harden their heart to the Spirit's conviction. Even God cannot bring them to repentance. As it tells us in Hebrews, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He who despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought who has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace, and has trodden underfoot the Son of God. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:26-31. Notice that the writer says, after one receives the knowledge of the truth. That is, one has received Jesus, the truth. and, quote unquote, was sanctified, they could still incur the judgment of God. Sinners have never been sanctified. This refers to none other than believers who have become careless in their walk with God. They do not care that they have trodden under their feet the Son of God with their unrighteousness. God shall judge his people with fiery indignation of his wrath. That is hell. Another frightening passage is in Hebrews chapter 6. And it lets us know that one can be very spiritual and have great manifestations of God's power in one's life, have the Holy Ghost, and still fall away from God. Their end is to be burned. Preachers are not exempt. Knowing the Bible but not living it won't keep you out of hell. It's those who endure to the end that shall be saved, according to Matthew 24:13. In Hebrews 6, it tells us, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. For the earth that drinks in the rain that comes oft upon it and brings forth herbs that are fit for them by whom it is dressed receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. One can know God and even have his power manifest in their life and still be rejected and burn in hell if they fall away from God. I personally knew a preacher who had once had the true baptism in the Holy Ghost with real healings, miracles, words of knowledge, prophecy, who became rebellious toward God. They refused to repent of bitterness and hate. They gave the devil an open place in their heart and mind. They continued in their rebellious attitude, even after being warned over and over. They felt justified in harboring those feelings of malice and hate. God finally had to give them over to a reprobate mind. They are now totally deluded and demon-possessed. It's not worth your soul to hang on to hatred, bitterness, envy, or strife. That one-night stand is not worth losing your soul over. That drink or toke can take your soul to a burning, eternal hell. Don't let the devil deceive you into sinning. Repent while you can. Departing from the faith. Once saved, always saved. The apostles didn't teach that, and neither did Jesus. In fact, the Bible teaches us that in the last days, many would depart from the faith. They could not depart from the faith unless they were walking in the faith. Now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, as 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul tells us further that people can become lustful and depart from Christ. In 1 Timothy 5:11 through 15 it says, younger widows refuse to put on the church charity rolls, for when they have become wanton against Christ, they will marry an unbeliever, that is. They will marry an unbeliever, and they will have damnation because they have cast off their first faith. For some have already turned aside after Satan. Here the Apostle Paul tells us some women who were in the faith chose to cast off their faith in Christ and to follow Satan because of their lust. They were no longer following Jesus. They were following Satan to hell and damnation. They were once saved, but no longer. Paul even told Timothy that he needed to be careful and heed pure doctrine and continue in it so that both he and his hearers could remain saved. That's in 1 Timothy 4 and 6. In other words, if Timothy did not heed sound doctrine and departed from the faith, both he and his hearers risked departing from the faith. A trap that Paul warned Timothy about was the love of money. Through greed and covetousness, some have erred from the faith, according to 1 Timothy 6 and 10. In other words, they were in the faith, but the love of money overtook them and caused them to err, wander away from the paths of righteousness. Hello, prosperity preachers. Sadly, even some of Paul's co-laborers in Christ departed from the faith. We can't put all the blame on the preachers. People depart from Christ because they want to. Paul preached and lived the pure gospel of Christ, and yet many of his co-workers departed from him. According to 2 Timothy 1, 15 and 4 and 1, it says, "This know, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." The apostle also warned us in Hebrews 3, 13 and 14 about the brethren departing from the faith. It says, "We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." There's that big word "if" again. There are conditions to your salvation. You must continue in the true faith. We are saved by faith. If one casts off their first love and their first faith, they will be damned. James tells us that the brethren, believers in Christ, can err from the truth and they must be converted back to the right way for their soul to be saved from death. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. James was not talking to someone in the world, but one of the quote-unquote brethren who was in the truth, but then erred from off the path of righteousness. Unless they were brought back to the path of righteousness, their soul would die in the multitude of their sins. Peter makes it very plain that leaders of the church could fall into lust and covetousness, like Balaam of old. He warns, if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than at the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Peter says that they were washed from the pollutions of sin, but fell back into the world again. He says it would have been better for them to have never known the Lord than to have known him and to depart from the faith. He ends his epistle warning the church against being led astray by error and falling from their steadfastness in Christ. Peter didn't take their salvation for granted, compelled to warn the brethren to take heed to themselves lest they fall. So should we. Jesus said his servants should watch their lives so they are ready for him when he returns. If the Lord's servant does not watch their lifestyle and begins to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord will cut him asunder and appoint him his place in hell with the hypocrites, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, according to Matthew 24, 42 through 51. Jesus warns us to take heed to ourselves so that the cares and pleasures of this world make us unprepared for the coming of the Lord. We are to watch and pray always to escape the coming destruction, according to Luke 21, 34 through 36. With these sobering scriptures in mind, it behooves all of us to take account of our own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. Can we be eternally secure in our salvation? Absolutely. If we stay close to the Lord and maintain a vibrant faith, that personal relationship that you have with Christ will motivate you to love and obey him and not engage in willful sin. Apostle John says, "Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him." Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, 6-10. God's children are righteous. If someone calls himself a Christian and yet they are living a sinful life, they are not right with God. They are of the devil, and as such, they will not inherit God's kingdom. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not do righteousness is not of God, neither he that does not love his brother. If one is living a sinful lifestyle, and as defined by the Bible, not our politically correct society, then they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Eternal security is for those that walk in the light of God's word as he is in the light. If their sins are covered by the blood, then because they're walking in the light, their sins are covered by the blood. You are secure only if. In conclusion, eternal security is conditional. To say once saved, always saved is a false that is not supported by Scripture. The few Scriptures that seem to indicate salvation cannot be lost actually reinforce the fact that there are conditions of obedient faith if one is to remain in the path of righteousness. The just shall live by faith, and that true faith will be marked by a lifestyle of righteous living. There are many Scriptures that warn believers about being cut off from their salvation if they do not continue on with the Lord. We stand by faith. If we depart from the faith of Christ, we can fall from his grace. The New Testament has several lists of sins that cannot be engaged in if one expects to go to heaven. We are warned that even those who once tasted of God's spiritual gifts and power can fall away from the faith. If we walk in the light of God's word and are led by the Spirit of God, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us. If we fall into sin, we can sincerely repent and confess our sins, and the blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One can be eternally secure in their salvation if they continue to follow Jesus as Lord of their life. One is eternally secure if. If you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, do so today. God loves you so much that he made the way of escape for you through Jesus' precious blood. Believe he died on the cross for your sin and that God raised him from the dead the third day. Turn from your sin and ask Jesus to come in and be master of your life. Confess him as your Lord, and you will be saved.